As we stand, let us bow our heads in prayer. Lord, as we come to look at your word this morning, this day, Lord, would you take my words and use them for your purposes? And Lord, would you take our hearts and our lives and use them for your glory? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'd like to be seated. Very good morning. Lovely to see you all. We're continuing our sermon series in the book of Nehemiah. That sermon series is entitled Building Together, Growing Together. Today we're at chapter 3, but I just want to remind us where we're at for this point, particularly for those who are visiting with us today. We've seen so far how the people of God at this time in their history have been through a very turbulent time. Over two centuries, they've been conquered by three empires. In chapter 1, we saw how they had now under the Persian rule, but before that, they were under Babylonian rule. And at that time, Jerusalem had been destroyed, and the people had been taken exile and taken out to a foreign land into captive. Nehemiah was himself in exile at this time. And then word came to him of this latest calamities that were happening to his people in their city. And as he heard the plight of his people, remember we saw how he sat down and he wept. He mourned for his people. And we saw how Nehemiah had a passion and a heart for his people and for the kingdom of God. And he set about on a vision to restore the holy city. So in chapter 2, we find that Nehemiah has gone off. He's in Jerusalem and he's surveying the site, seeing what the needs are, seeing what the issues and the problems are. And he sees that it's going to be a huge task. The walls are down in rubble. The gates have been burned. And there is just a remnant, a few of God's people living in the place at that time. So it looked like mission impossible. Not even Tom Cruise could do this one. But God had got his man, Nehemiah, that he had called for this purpose. And how was it going to be done? Was Nehemiah going to do it all, save everything? The answer, chapter 3, our chapter today. And as we heard it read, and as you was reading it, did you note that just in those first five verses, there was a common refrain that went through? That refrain, that little part of the text said, next to him, next to them. Six times just in those opening five verses. And then when we read on through the rest of the chapter, we find that 26 times this phrase, or a very similar phrase, after him or after them, occurs. And this phrase, next to him, it also can be translated, and I like this translation, hand by hand they worked together. And that's the first main point. Hand by hand they worked together and they built together. And as they did this, incredibly, because it was a large task, not quite like rebuilding a mega city like Singapore in Asia, or one of the other mega cities, Bangkok, or a mega city in another land. But it was still a very significant place. And we learn they rebuilt the walls in 52 days. They didn't do it by importing migrant workers. They didn't go and get slave labor. They shared in the work together. It was a truly amazing achievement. And that is the main point that we're looking at today. I'm sure you know the old saying, many hands make light work. Well, this is it in action. And then talking about light, making light work, I couldn't help but tell one or two little jokes. So here we go. How many liberal Christians does it take to change a light bulb? At least 10. Because first of all, they need to debate if there's such a thing as a light bulb. And then also, if they were to change the light bulb, by changing it, would they then upset people who preferred other types of light? Second one, how many charismatic Christians does it take to change a light bulb? You know the answer to that one? It's 10 as well. One to change a light bulb, 9 to pray against the spirit of darkness as they do it. How many Catholics does it take to change a light bulb? None. They have candles. How many Anglicans does it take to change a light bulb? Change? Who said anything about change? Many hands make light work. The people of God in Nehemiah's time worked together. Hand in hand, they were united in their common purpose. But that hadn't always been the case with them. So to remind you again, as a context that we were looking at last week, when we go back to the very earliest of times of the people of God, right from the time of Abraham, his descendants were called to be a light to the nations, that people would come to God through the people of God. Jerusalem was built as a city to be set on a hill, and it was on a hill. And it was to be a city that would be a light to the nations and attract people to it. So Isaiah was to say in chapter 60, "Arise, shine, for your light has come. And the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen in you, and the nations will come to your light." This was always from the beginning through Scripture and into the time of the New Covenant when Jesus said, "You are to be a city on a hill." It's the purpose of the people of God. But tragically, in times of the people of God's history, they have not been faithful to this calling. They've fallen into sin, gone into rebellion. Remember last week we were looking how the prophets brought words of comfort at this time when they were in exile. But before that, the prophets were bringing words of warning. For example, Jeremiah 32 and verse 30. "The people of Israel and Judah have done nothing but evil in my sight." Verse 32, "They, their kings and officials, their priests and their prophets, the men of Judah and the people of Jerusalem, they turn their backs on me and not their faces. Though I taught them time and time again, they would not listen or respond to me." And the result of all this was a terrible division amongst the people of God. They were at conflict with one another, tribe against tribe, family against family, neighbor against neighbor, brother against brother, sister against sister. One of the things that obscures the light of God and the gospel of Christ is division amongst his people. It is a tragedy. And so for today, we need to note that the result of this division was they had fallen to foreign powers. They found themselves in exile. Their holy city was in ruins. And now by his grace, God has raised up Nehemiah, his man for the task. And he's going to rebuild them, and he's going to restore them so that they might shine for God again, a light to the nations. This was their purpose, and this was to be their purpose. And this is why they built together. And the image that we're given here in chapter 3 is that as they built the walls together and as they restored Jerusalem together, they were also being built together as a people. They were divided. But now as they worked together, they were being united. They found that as they repaired walls, that their divisions were being repaired also. See, as we work together for God's purposes, God builds us together. So as they built walls of protection around the city, the walls of separation and conflict came down between them as brothers and sisters. Now, thankfully, St. Andrew's Cathedral is not at war. Not last time I looked. Tribe is not fighting against tribe. Thankfully, service is not fighting against service. We bring our Bibles to church, not a battle axe or a sword. Maybe I need to give our ushers another job just to check you're not carrying things of war when you come into church. But there can be tensions and differences that exist within the church, can't there? A complicated church like the cathedral here, many, many groups sharing all the common resources together. So over this weekend, 12 services, actually next to each other, all close to each other, sharing the resources. We must always remember that we're working together as God's people, next to one another, hand by hand with each other. We're all one church. We're multiple services, but we're all one church. Therefore, when one service needs to exit quickly, the other one coming in must realize, you know, there must be conflict between us as we're in and out of different services back to back. We're so many different expressions around this site. It's glorious. It's wonderful as I go around and there's a service over there in one language and a service over here in another language. There are groups gathering here in fellowship and sharing together all around the space that we have here. But even within that, there can be tensions, challenges. And so we need to take care that we do not build walls of division, that there are not barriers of separation between each other, that we don't erect dividing walls. In fact, Jesus came on the cross to demolish the dividing walls between us, didn't he? The trouble is, as Christians and as churches, sometimes we then come along and build them back up again. So I just want to take a moment and pause and to ask, are there divisions that need repairing here? Are there hurts from the past that needs healing and then moving on from? And I mean moving on from so we can move forward. We leave them in the past and we move forward. Because we're building together to move forward into God's future, aren't we? Is there something in your heart that's separating you from your brothers and sisters? Because you're called to work hand in hand with them. We have to take each other's hands and work together. So we need to be right with each other to do that. And then as we move on, as the people of God work hand to hand in unity, we see that they all had a part to play. Now, chapter 3, if you just glance at it at first sight, it's just one of those chapters, isn't it? There's a list of difficult names to pronounce and a list of places that are even harder to pronounce. So what do we often do? We just glance through it and don't bother to read it very closely, don't we? Yeah, you're nodding. Most of us do that. But this text, when we look a bit closer, powerfully shows us how the people of God work together and all have an important part to play. So we read, of course, that there are tradesmen there. There are the carpenters. There are those that are rebuilding walls, and the ordinary families did that, actually. There are blacksmiths. There are bolts to be fixed. There are bars to be repaired. There are doors and gates that need to be put back on and built. But then as we look closer, we see other things. For example, verse 8, we read of the merchants being involved. In other words, those in business and in commerce are involved. Verse 12, we see that families are there. Children are working together. Daughters are mentioned. Verse 17 and 22 tell us about the Levites and the priests doing their part. Now, even the clergy got their hands dirty, rolled up their sleeves and did some work. And throughout, as we read, we find a variety of people using their gifts. In verse 8, we see there's a goldsmith, there's a perfume maker. I scratched my head for quite a while. Why is there a perfume maker? And then I realized, of course, they're making the deodorant, because it's going to be hot, sweaty work, isn't it, building all those walls? Perhaps not. All sorts of people were at work. The people of God worked together. Although there is a verse in here that tells us not everybody did. Verse 5. The next section was repaired by the men of Tekoa, but their nobles would not put their shoulders to the work under their supervisors. You see, there are always those that will stand by on the sidelines. You probably know the analogy of the church and church workers about football. Do you know that one? It's like when there are 22 people running around on a field exhausting themselves, while there are thousands who are in bad need of some exercise just watching them. But it probably wasn't quite like that in Nehemiah's time. But the issue at Nehemiah's time was this. There were those who thought they were above such work. Those who thought would not come under the authority of Nehemiah, their leader. Oh, I'm not going to follow him. We really need to take care of our hearts and our attitudes. We can never say, I'm too good for that. We can never say, I'm too mature for that. We must never forget that Jesus himself stooped low as you can get, and washed feet. And we're called to nothing less. So here, chapter 3, the main point, the people worked together. And it was not about one superhuman doing it all. Nehemiah led the people for sure, but he didn't do all of the work. Ministry is for all of God's people. Christian ministry can never be just left to the clergy or to the paid staff team. And I thank God for our wonderful staff team here. But the model of professional ministry, doing all of the ministry, is a very disempowering one and not a biblical one. Yes, we need dedicated staff for particular tasks, but ministers minister to produce ministry. And other ministers. That's the dynamic of church. So clergy should not and cannot do all the work. In fact, this principle applies throughout all leadership roles, whether that's within the church or whether that's in the marketplace and another place. But it's actually quite a hard lesson to learn. I just want to share another part of my ministry story with you. I think it was about 4 years ago now. I was a vicar of Christ Church Bangkok, and some friends of mine sitting in the congregation today, so you can ask them about it. I'm not sure if they were there at actually this point, but about 4 years ago, I fell off the vicarage roof at Christ Church Bangkok. I was the vicar of Christ Church Bangkok, and I fell off the roof. There it is, that roof. I put that rather dramatically because I didn't actually end up falling off the roof. I'm going to tell you the story of what happened. But you're probably thinking, what on earth is the vicar doing on the vicarage roof? Good question. Was it some form of Thai punishment? Had I preached a particularly bad sermon and it was like the naughty corner where they put me? No. I was fixing a small water leak, rainwater leak in the roof. So the next question you could ask me would be, well, didn't they have anyone else who could do that? And the answer to that is yes, they did. They had some very good maintenance staff, or they had maintenance staff. So they had others that could have done it. So why was I the vicar doing it? And the answer is this: I could not wait for them. They had actually tried to fix this leak and had failed. It was still leaking. And I did not have the patience to wait, and I did not trust that they would end up being able to do it. And my thought was this, and I bet you've had this thought at some time: if you want something done properly, do it yourself. And the truth is that by this time of many years of wonderful but challenging ministry, I was so driven in my ministry, so driven by the many needs that were there, I'd become so hands-on and getting things done, so used to getting things done, moving things forward, building, that I actually had begun to lose perspective. And I was trying to do it all. And if you've been there, you know that that's the first sign of getting burnt out. So there I was up on the roof. I'd done the simple repair. I went to step on the ladder to get down off the roof. Now, I'm an engineer. I know all about securing ladders. I know all about having somebody standing at the bottom. Did I bother? No, I didn't. I know all about health and safety. I've taught it. Did I go and get the maintenance guys to help me? No. It was beginning to rain. I wanted to get off the roof. I put one foot onto the ladder. The other foot was still on the roof. The ladder began to slip, and it fell away. I had two choices: fall over backwards off the roof, or push with my foot that was still working, still on there, up onto the roof. So obviously I pushed myself back on the roof. Trouble was, my leg was twisted. So as I was pushing myself back on the roof, I could feel and hear it twisting and tearing and ripping. I got back onto the roof. I had to come and get to have somebody to help get me off and take me to hospital and get surgery. My knee has never been quite the same again. It was not repairable, actually. So if you wonder why I don't kneel a lot in church, now you have the answer. I have to be very, very careful. But I also learned I've got to take great care with my inner self as well. You see, whenever I move now, I'm aware of my knee. And I'm always reminded of this point in my life and my ministry where I was out of balance and trying to do it all. I was unhealthily driven. I was finding it hard to share ministry and trust people. I was carrying a burden that wasn't mine to carry alone, but I was trying to carry it anyway. And I didn't intend for that to happen, but it crept up on me in my busyness, and I hadn't realized it. It nearly killed my ministry, and it nearly killed me. So now I sort of walk with a limp, so to speak, a little bit like Jacob. Remember when he wrestled with God and the effect stayed and he remembered? And I'm reminded that I am no super pastor, and no pastor is. I'm not a spiritual hero. I will never be able to take the world and ministry on by myself. And I should not ever attempt to do it again. So to the ministers here and the pastors and leaders in any walk of life, whatever your vocation is, you cannot do it alone. So do not try. And if you are in that place, stop. Build your team. Else you're going to fall off a roof somehow. I wouldn't recommend it. And brothers and sisters here at St. Andrew's Cathedral, the point is that we all work together, that we repair together, that we build together. It is our collective calling from God as His people in this place. That is the way He intended it. That is the way church should function. That is the way the kingdom of God is built. And because of that, God has given us gifts and talents to use in His service. And each one of us is needed. Each one has a part to play. Each one is important. So we just pause again and ask a question. Are we using our gifts? Are we using our talents in the building of God's kingdom? And I'm not just talking about church, but I'm talking about ministry in the world as well. Wherever we are the church of Christ and a light to the nations. And another thing I noticed while looking at this passage, when you have a look at it, you see there are different groups of work around the perimeter. So I counted up, there were 8 groups at work in the north wall, there were 10 on the west wall, there were 2 on the south wall, and there were 21 on the east wall. Seemed like they were building more in one area than another. They were not spread out equally in that sort of way. Some areas needed more work than other areas. I need to be a little bit careful of making too much of this from the scripture, but I just want to draw a simple parallel. Because sometimes in church life, we need to concentrate in one area to build up our ministry at times. Sometimes God calls us to focus on a particular thing in the life of the church. Sometimes there's a season, the vicar likes to use the word season a lot, doesn't he? And we're in a season where we build things up. God is speaking to us about this at the moment. And it's not because one thing is more important than another in ministry. Please don't misunderstand when we put our emphasis and our effort in different places. It's because that's where we need to invest. That's where God is calling us to put our efforts and to give some focus. Sometimes it's where an area where it's on God's heart, and that's where we must put ourselves, isn't it, and work together. And that leads me to another application that we can think about here. That's about our own personal vision in ministry. We have a lot of leaders in the cathedral. We have a lot of people with passion for ministry, things that are strong in our own hearts. But the trouble is we can begin to believe that that's about the only thing that is of importance in the life of the church. So it might be worship, it might be outreach, it might be social care, it might be pastoral care, it might be youth or young people, but it becomes our passion and we think it has to be everybody's passion. No. We need to make sure that our personal vision is submitted to the good of the whole. Because we are to cooperate together. We are to build together. We are to support one another in the kingdom work that is going on here. We serve one another wherever our heart and our passion may be. So brothers and sisters, let us get behind what the Lord is doing in the church and the life of the cathedral at this time. Let's follow where He's leading in this new season. Let's go into the new things that He's calling us into. Have a look at the Vicar's Rite, a special look. This week, it's about vision. Next week, it's going to be lots about tasks and things that we're looking ahead to do. Get behind it. Let's work together with it. Support one another through it. And so finally, in my conclusion, as we build together, we are being built together. The people of God, as I explained earlier, before the exile, were a deeply divided people. Their community life together had been as shattered as the walls of rubble that were now around them. And Nehemiah's task was not just to come and rebuild the walls, as we'll see in other weeks, but to restore and rebuild a broken community. And it was as they worked together in unity on the purpose that God has given them that they were built together in their hearts and unify too. It was as they built together that the Lord broke down the barriers that they had put up between each other. It was as they built the kingdom of God together that he healed them of their hurts and their divisions. It was as they were building together, he was building them together to be the community that he had called them to be. So may the Lord build us together to be a loving community, a unified community. May he make us a place of welcome, of hospitality, a place that is attractive and drawing others in, a place that's got its walls down as part of our vision statement and our bridges out so that we can connect with the world. Maybe be a community of people where in the face of the reality of life with all of its challenges, we know the power of the living God here in our midst. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit mightily at work in us in wonderful ways. And when we do that, this city, cathedral church, will begin to shine brightly for him, or even brighter. And you know, as individuals alone, that is not possible. But together, hand in hand, building for God, who knows what is possible and who knows what God will do through us? May that be our prayer. Let us pray together. Lord, we thank you for the community of St. Andrew's in all of its diversity, in its multiple services and congregations and leaders and the dynamics that happen here to enable it all to happen. As we share resources, as we share buildings and space. Lord, as we work next to each other, as we minister hand in hand within our own services here and this service, may we use our gifts for the building of your kingdom. And Lord, our prayer is that you would build us to be a light to the nations. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.